Handbooks can be really, really fun. The plaintiff's lawyers, that's one of the first things they want is your handbook. So you can anticipate that if there's litigation, you'll be eating every possible word out of that. And your managers will be expected to have memorized it and to be absolutely 100% consistent with every single term in there. Otherwise, obviously, it must be some illegal thing that they're doing because they have not memorized and followed the handbook to a T. So it's important to get the document right. There's things that you can put in the handbook that are very helpful in terms of protecting the client, the company, from various scenarios and various types of damages. And so what we're going to do is we're going to hit some of the highlights of that because we can't possibly cover everything that there is to think about in terms of drafting handbooks, but we will try to hit the highlights. For a long time, there wasn't a whole lot you could do on handbooks that was terribly new or interesting, but the National Labor Relations Board has just breathed new life into the topic of employee handbooks, and so we'll be covering that to some extent. Okay, so let's start with kind of the EEO policy. I see a lot of EEO policies. Rarely do they actually address the concept of disability accommodation or religious accommodation. I think that is a mistake. I've actually had people say, well, we don't want to put that in there because we don't want them asking. I'm like, well, that's okay. It's a different way of looking at it. I would put it in there because then if they don't ask for it, then that's on them because you said in your policy that we're going to do this, and so this is who you need to go. And I would direct them to go to, if you have HR, to direct them to go to HR with it because, then you bypass potentially a supervisor finding out about a health issue that they don't even necessarily need to know about, which solves some issues from an ADA standpoint.